the 18th, 19th of August, Coothill, County Cavan. And I'm hoping that the loop tape music in the background is not going to be too obtrusive during this interview. Now, this is the interview with Mr. Dennis Reynolds of Coothill, County Cavan, who went to Spain with General O'Duffy in 1936 with the what became the Bandera Irlandesa del Tercio. Now, Mr. Reynolds, can I ask you, how did you first hear about the project to take men to Spain?
Well, it was principally through the news media at the time, you know, and we read about the Republican government, and of course we referred to it very often as the communist government, but it was the Republican government. And then we heard about all the massacre of priests and nuns and cathedrals and churches being burned and disgraced and all that type of stuff. And then reading this for a while, we were in sympathy with what they call the Patriot forces, that would be Franco's forces. You had the different elements, you had the Carlist, fascist or primordial various crowd, you had them. You had General Franco himself went out to Morocco as military governor of Morocco, you know, correct, after that government was elected. And it was evidently clear that the Moorish troops and those were badly paid and had poor conditions. And when General Franco went out, one of the first things he done was he got an increase in their pay and he got better conditions for them. And when the revolution started, then they came in with him. They went on his side. That's how we understood that the Moorish troops did come in and back General Franco.
So what made you, I mean, you read the papers and, yeah, you heard, did you hear any bishops or priests making sermons?
More Cardinal McCrory.
McCrory,
the Cardinal at the time.
Yes.
He, once General Duffy talked about organising a brigade, Cardinal McCrory encouraged a lot of people to join the brigade.
Did he encourage publicly from the pulpit?
Mostly through the news media.
Through the news media.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear anyone in the pulpit suggesting that it would be a good thing to go?
No.
You never did?
No, never.
Did any priest ever speak to you about it at all?
No. In fact, I, on account of being very young at the time.
How old were you, Mr. Reynolds?
18.
18.
And
you weren't really of age.
Yeah.
In a sense.
The priest that was in our home parish at the time, he said that he was surprised that I didn't tell him I was going. Well, I said that I was in a very awkward position, because if I told you I was going and that you said to me to not go, well, I had promised to go and I had signed the volunteer form, and then all the, well, there wasn't that many, but those that had done it will say that I signed the form and then reneged on it.
Sure.
So I told the priest I wasn't going to break my word, nor neither I did.
But, so, really, what made you interested in O'Duffy's appeal was mainly the religious angle, you would say.
Yeah. And I always had an interest in soldiering. Uh-huh. In later years, I was commissioned in the FCA. And
yeah.
Coming home then in 37, the war broke out in 39. Yeah. And I trained all the young ones in field tactics at them. And I was commissioned in the FCA.
And did you use your Spanish experience in this training?
Yeah, that's what I used,
you did.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Oh, I did indeed. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Now, did you decide immediately, were you reading these reports in the papers, maybe over, say, a period of days or weeks, or did you decide immediately that you heard?
Over a period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you came to think that this was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And were you a strong Catholic at the time?
Yeah.
You were. But were you employed or unemployed?
Well, at that time in Ireland, times were very bad. You read about the economic war.
I did.
But we were on a small farm, and the farmers were very badly hit at him, you know, under the first government of Eamon de Valera.
Sure.
He had sanctions passed against imports from Britain.
That's
and
right.
Then I was going out, there were sanctions passed again, and what we were selling lost in price and what we were buying went up in price, and the times were terrible bad. And there was two younger brothers than me and a sister. And my mother died only 6 months before that, with typhoid fever. And I went to look for work.
So she died just before you went?
6 months before I went, yeah.
But your father still was still living?
Oh, he was. He lived to be very old.
And he didn't know that you were going?
No, I went off on the quiet, just to say. And because, you know that...
Did you go with a friend?
Yeah, with a McBride man. He was an agricultural student.
Here in Cavan?
Or? Yeah, near home, yeah.
And his name was? His name was?
Phil McBride.
Phil McBride.
Aye.
And you sort of made a pact, as it were, together to go? Would that be more or less right?
Yeah, that's right. He got the application forms and we completed them, don't you see?
Yeah.
Sent them in.
So you went off as sort of partners or comrades?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
I understand. Yeah. That's not unusual. Other people, I think, did the same.
Yeah.
When you heard about the atrocities against nuns and priests and the burnings of churches, which undoubtedly did take place, who did you think were actually committing these atrocities?
Well, from what we had read, we knew that, we understood that it was evidently clear that the government, the Republic government, couldn't control the anarchists, and that the anarchists were the people who are doing all these desperate acts that they're doing.
Yeah, so you were aware that it was mainly anarchists, in fact.
Yeah.
No, you're the first person to have said that to me.
Well,
so your family didn't know, so I can't ask you about your family attitude because they didn't even know. No. Did you know very... Presumably you didn't know an awful lot about Spain itself.
Very little.
Yeah.
I left school at 13 years of age.
Oh, my God. Mm. But you knew it was a Catholic country.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know that Irishmen had been there... that there was a link between Ireland and Spain as regards fighting for the Catholic cause, that in previous centuries...
Yeah,
you were aware of that from school?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, would I be correct in assuming that you and your family, maybe, had been supporters of Cumann na hÉidir before 1933, up to the... 1930s?
That's correct.
That's correct. And had your father been in the Civil War, or had he been strongly on the Cosgrave side?
He was strongly on the... In fact, it was my mother was the politician.
Uh-huh.
She was very strongly on the Cosgrove side.
Yeah.
And I met William T. Cosgrove recently now. I met him at a funeral. And I told him that when his daddy was Taoiseach or Prime Minister, that my mother often corresponded with him. And he always replied to her. And he'd have loved if I had the letters. But we reconstructed the home one time, and a lot of the papers I had were burnt.
Ah, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a shame.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you felt quite a strong connection then with the Cosgrave Party Cosgrave.
Yeah.
Okay. Had you been a member? You obviously weren't a member of ACA, but were you a blue shirt as a young man? In a few years
before,
you had been a blue shirt, and you wore the uniform, and
that's right,
and you went to the meetings.
Yeah.
And you, I mean, this, you were excited by this. I mean, you thought this was a good.
Yeah, we just learned foot drill. We learned foot drill, like marching.
Oh, great! Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you also a member of the National Christian Movement, or
no?
You weren't a member of Paddy Belton's.
No. The Irish Christian Front.
The Irish Christian Front.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. No, yes. I wasn't. But
sorry, I got that wrong. Yes.
Oh no, it's only just a matter of statement. Yeah.
The Irish Christian Front is quite right.
Yeah, the Irish Christian Front were they gathered funds and they sent out when we were out in Spain. They sent out two lovely ambulances.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was at a historical lecture one night, invited to it, and the professor that spoke on it, like he hadn't his research work done very well.
Was this in Spain or in Ireland?
Oh, no, we had in Ireland back about 2 years ago.
Oh, yes.
And that's what I found out, that he hadn't his research work done too well. What was the question you asked me that?
Sorry, I was going to say, I think probably if you think that historians haven't done their research work, it's probably because they're too biased one way or the other, more than they haven't done their research. They don't see.
I wouldn't say it was that in his case, because he was fairly old, and he was in the Irish College in Salamanca.
Ah.
And I asked him after the lecture where he'd done his research work, and he told me he got it up an old priest in the Irish College in Salamanca.
That's right.
And I said, well, that priest wouldn't have been in touch with what we were in touch with. This was through the war part.
No,
and as well as that, Salamanca was one of the first places to spell the Frankish forces.
Quite right.
Yeah, it was never under.
I've forgotten this priest's name. I think it's McCabe.
From I know the parish he lived in was Ballymacue.
Uh-huh.
And I met his sister that night.
I think he was a very honest, well-intentioned priest.
Oh, very, yeah.
As far as I can gather.
Yeah.
But maybe he thought he knew more than he did, possibly.
Well, the professor that interviewed him, I think he should have had a different test than what he did here and here.
This couldn't be Desmond O'Keer. Desmond Keir.
He was a Professor Murphy.
Ah.
It's not John A. Murphy now.
It's Tom Murphy.
John A. writes a lot to the paper.
Right, okay. Yeah. Now, can I get back now to these questions, if you don't mind? You had no previous military experience apart from the blue shirts.
That's correct. Yeah.
Who did you deal with locally? I mean, who did you and your friend McBride go to register? Was there anyone locally you dealt with?
He'd have been a Martin man from the other town here. Martin was in touch with General O'Duffy.
Neil Martin.
Well, that's his first name now.
Yeah, take your time.
John Martin. Yeah.
And he would have been the.
He'd have been correct. He'd have been a
corporate movement.
Yeah.
Representative
that's
here.
That's correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much. And did anyone? So you told virtually nobody. So nobody could have discouraged you from going.
No.
Right.
Not any closer spells.
Okay. Now, what did you know about O'Duffy as a person and about his career before you volunteered? Are you getting tired at all?
I suppose what upset General O'Duffy very much, he had a great record in the fight for freedom, and he was sentenced to death. And after the treaty, then he was made commissioner of the Guard, and he built up the Guard force. And a lot of people thought it should have been an armed force when the Civil War was just
very recent.
And he wouldn't agree for them to be armed. He never agreed for them to be an armed force. And he established law and order in the country. And then, I suppose, what upset him politically, if you like to put it that way, De Valera then reduced him from being commissioner. He dismissed him from being commissioner. And he went politically then. And, you know, he did join in with Cumnock Yale up to a point. It was, and the Fine Gael, United Irish Party in English. And he didn't get on that well with Cosgrove. Now, he didn't get on well with McDermott, that was leader of the Centre Party. They were mostly a farmers' party.
Yes.
And he didn't get on that well with James Dillon, that was the old nationalist stuff. So he got involved then with the Corporative Party.
Yeah.
And he formed a green shirt movement. Did you ever come across that?
I've only recently heard of them.
They were small enough. They were small in numbers.
I associate them with a man called Cronin. Is that correct?
Commandant Ned Cronin from Cork.
I associate them more with Cronin than with O'Duffy.
Well, he became Director General after O'Duffy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So then it was always said, don't you see, that they were up to a type fascist. That they were fascists and in touch that he was in close cooperation with a lot of the fascist leaders in Europe.
Yes.
Including Mussolini.
Yes. Was there much truth in this, do you think?
Well, the people that were Cumnock Yale or Fine Gael, they never fell in that line.
No.
No, they didn't. They wouldn't be for it now.
No.
We'd be opposed to it.
But looking back, if I could ask you this, don't answer the question if you don't want to, but looking back on it, would you have regarded yourself as a fascist then?
No, no way. No, at no time.
You didn't identify with the Italians or Germans in any way?
No.
Right, thanks. Would you... Did you know of anybody else in this town or anywhere where you might have knowledge who was prevented from going, who wanted to go but was prevented by any authority or any? You don't?
No, not to that extent.
No.
But we were actually, the night that we left this town and on our way to Galway.
You went from Galway?
Oh, we went from Galway Bay. And they went 200 out before that from Passage East, the first consignment.
That's right.
And then they went 400 from Galway Bay. And One of the guards told me in a long time after that he could have arrested us going through Cotillia.
That's right.
And when we arrived then in Galway, there was a very big consignment of plainclothes detectives and guards there. And there was an order out for us to be arrested. Did you ever come across that?
I understood that the guard did have orders to, as it were, make things difficult, but I'd never heard they had orders to arrest anybody,
Yeah, well, do you know what happened then? It was a terrible cold night. It was on the 12th of December, 1936, and Galway Bay, it was very cold. So we're after travelling from here over there in chairs, and even the weather was cold, you'd be warm enough in a chair. It was very cold, but anyhow, the Bishop of Galway came down, and he got up, and there was a lorry there, and he got up on the platform.
This was in Air Square?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he got up on the platform, and he said he appealed to the authorities not to arrest anyone except there were criminals. And he said that they were going to fight for faith and fatherland. And he asked us all to sing Faith of Our Fathers. And the crowd joined up. Everyone, I suppose, that could sing or any Catholics knew Faith of Our Fathers.
And it was a bit difficult for them to move in and pull you then.
Yeah.
Was it so, not?
I think there was there might have been two or three from Dublin arrested. That's about all.
Yes.
And when we went out then on the tender out in Galway Bay, we had to go out on a tender. And it was terrible while. And some of them, when we came out to the tender, you see, we were on this small boat going out.
Yeah.
And it was, we had to climb 24 steps up a rope ladder and bring whatever you had along with you. So some of them wouldn't venture going up it. And it was a troop ship. It was a converted troop ship.
Yeah.
24,000 ton.
Yeah.
The Hirundi was the name of it.
Yeah.
And
the tender was the Arran Island ferry, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It, generally speaking, took cattle, so presumably it was pretty messy.
Yeah, all it was indeed.
Yeah. But that must have been very, very difficult and unpleasant experience, I should think.
Well, indeed it was.
Yeah. Did you know of anyone who went? I mean, you say you were 18, which was pretty close.
Yeah.
Did you know of anyone any younger who went? Any younger than 18?
I knew one lad from Cork, only 17. He was the only one I knew.
Yeah. But some of the people who criticised O'Duffy said that there were 50 or even more boys of 17 or 16 who went. But do you think
not that to that extent.
That's untrue.
Because I tell you how I know. When we were trained and ready to go to the front, they appointed all the young lads to be officers, batsmen. And they did approach me as well, but they told me that if I'd prefer to be soldier, which I did, that there was a Maguire man who wasn't in very good health. He shouldn't have been sent to the front. And he was just batsman for about 3 weeks when his health broke down. And they came to me then, Sergeant Major came and he asked me, would I like to be batsman to Captain Cunningham? That I would.
Sean O'Cunningham.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said, no, I'm up in the front of the boys and I'll stop it.
Yeah.
So there was very few, there'd be no such a thing as 16 years of age.
Right. Right. But no. You knew one or two of 17, but nobody younger.
No.
And not many.
No, very, very few.
Right, okay.
And they were officers, batsmen.
Right.
That's
so they didn't go into the trenches, as it
no.
were. Right.
No.
Did you know of anyone? Oh, well, you wouldn't because you went the Galway way. But did you know of anyone who was English or Welsh or Scottish, maybe?
Yeah.
Who was in the brigade?
I knew.
The Bandera?
I knew of one. In fact, we had a Lieutenant Fitzpatrick and he left the Irish Guards.
He had an English accent, I believe.
And
that's right, yeah.
And you know, a real good piece happened with me and him one day when we were starting to drill first. And he had a bad turn in his eye. He was a fine man, but he had a very bad turn in his eye. And we got the orders from the sea to stand at ease, you understand? And I put my hand in my pocket and I cut my finger on a safety blade. Did you ever see the hardback blades?
Yes.
One side of them was firm.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I had it in my pocket. And I cut my finger, and he was just looking up, and he seen my finger all blood. And I didn't think he'd see it. And he shouted up like, he called us to attention. And whatever number I was down the line, maybe 6 or 7, 2 paces forward, please. I passed no remarks. And he shouted again, I passed no remarks. And he came up real sharp to me and he says to me, do you not know your number? Do you not know I told you to step 2 paces forwards? He says, your thumb's all blood. And I said, I'm sorry, sir, I didn't know you were looking at me. With, and the boys all, the boys all laughed.
I know, but his eyesight wasn't bad, obviously. His eyesight wasn't bad. Okay, that's Colonel Fitzpatrick, sorry, Captain Fitzpatrick.
There was another then. He was...
Was he English?
He was an English boy.
Yeah.
I had his photo there. So what did I show you? I think I had his photo. I had his photo. Let's show you that. Okay. It's just... I have some of the snaps in. But this is the young lad now, and I'll tell you a bit of history about him. He was... Sergeant Cadell was his name. Do you see... A man there with a good round face, a fairly big fellow, good countenance and a fairly full face.
Yeah.
Well, that's Sergeant Cadell, and he left the Irish Guards and came. He came with us. And he had...
Cadell? Cadell?
Cadell was
his name. Cadell.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know whether he practiced any religion or not, but he wanted to get converted when we were on the front.
Really?
And he became a convert. But this is interesting now. We were told like that if we wanted to go out, he cut out like a makeshift altar in the back of the mountain. Just cut it in the old snout hard channel like here, as chalky kind of clay, you know. And he had flowers and everything, and he was going to be received into the church this day. And some of us went round and left the trenches in the daytime, you know, but you'd be under a certain amount of... A fire move, and you'd have to be very careful. And I went round anyhow, and the priest that was saying the mass was very... He had far more of a beard now than you, and he looked terrible, worn and run down looking.
Spanish priest?
Aye. And there was another... I didn't know at the time, he was a priest too, and he was serving the mass. And he was just identical like the man that was saying the mass. And... didn't a ricochet bullet hit him here and he was killed?
During the mass?
Yeah, just coming up to the consecration. And I was kneeling, and like the ground was rough, and I was kneeling on one knee. And I got up to go up to finish serving the mass, because I was an altar boy when I was a few years before that. And another very like a priest, but all like other, another went in and finished serving the mass. And that was the day that Sergeant Cadell was converted. It was the priest that served mass was shot dead.
Did you have many masses at the front like that, or did you mostly?
Oh, really, known at the front. No,
but this one was at the front.
Yeah, just on the back of the mountain.
Was it for a particular reason? Was it a special feast day, or
it was a special day because he was received into the church.
I see. And it wasn't St. Patrick's Day or the Assumption or anything like that. No,
it'll be any day. We'd hardly know the day of the week it was.
I understand. Yeah. Okay. So when you went from Galway. And you went on the troop ship, and you went to Lisbon then?
Yeah. Oh, what was he? No,
you went to
Ferrol Harbour.
Coruña, and then Ferrol. That's right, sorry, yes.
And we went into a terrible storm in the Bay of Biscay. Did they ever tell you that?
No one's told me that.
Oh, yeah, we went into a terrible storm, and we were 24 hours at anchor. And all the delf that was... wasn't terrible well packed, maybe, anyway. All the delf was broken. All the delf on the ship was broken.
Oh.
It swayed and it... Oh, you're talking about mountains of waves. I never thought... And the big ship was 24,000 tons. It just go like a car. And you think it went up the side of a wave. Oh, 24 hours there. And every one of them nearly got very sick.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
And there was a doctor, Kearns, from Newbliss, just... 3 miles.
Yeah, I know. We passed through there, yeah.
And he was there, and
his name was?
Dr. Kearns.
Dr. Kearns.
Kearns, isn't
yeah.
It? He was, he served in the 1914-18 war before that.
He wasn't from Coothill, was he?
No, just from Newbliss, that
right,
village.
Newbridge, right. Yeah. Oh, Newbliss. Newbliss, yeah. Yes, I know, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I didn't just think, no, neither did he. And one morning we were, do you know what we give them in the morning at our breakfast or what they get? Very thin porridge. Might have been open porridge, but it was like gruel, what we call. Do you understand what gruel is?
I do.
Well, he was going down the steps, don't you see, and it was the bunks we were in, it was a converted ship. It was originally, they were just like mattresses or that. And we were going down the steps, and the stairs was back about that much, nearly flat. And the ship got a heist, and it fired him in on top of the man in the bed with the hot gruel, and the doctor broke two or three ribs. So
that sort of passage. And so you came to El Ferrol.
Yeah.
And then did you manage to get a train to Salamanca, or
got
the train to Salamanca?
Yeah.
And then did you stay in Salamanca long?
We were just receiving it one evening and left it the next morning.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you then next morning you went down to Badajoz.
Yeah. We trained in Cáceres.
Yes.
Yes.
From Badajoz you went to Cáceres.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, what did you think of the Spanish people you met during your time in Cáceres and elsewhere in Spain?
We liked them well. I liked them well. I found them very nice and friendly. They were very nice to us. That's people that when we came back from the front and that, they were very nice to us. And when we went out, we had the full battalion all marched out through the city of Cáceres. And we had St. Mary's War Pipers Band from Dublin, and they marched in front of us. And do you know the way a city or houses, you think they were vibrating? And the Spanish people give us a great send-off. But when we came back, we were 13 weeks without ever being out of the front lines up near Madrid. And when we came back, they received us again. And we all marched in the same places we went out in. And,
Places in the file, you mean?
There'd be nine on the gun team, you see, on a gun team. I was a machine gunner, or a machine gun company. And there'd be nine on it. And when we were coming back out of the nine, there was only the gunner, the corporal, and me that matched back in that section. There was one of them killed, two of them wounded, and more of the rest of them broke down in health.
Yeah.
So they took it for granted when we were, like, when you had this space, that the ones in between were probably all killed.
Yeah.
Which they weren't.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They give us a wonderful reception.
Did you know of anyone during your time there who tried to learn Spanish?
Well, we all tried to learn as much as we could.
Did you really?
Yeah, we did. I found out that we could go into shops and places like and ask what we wanted, like if it was beer. Sylvester Frio was freeze beer and all that type of stuff.
Yeah. Did you, were you aware when of the honour that General Franco and the Nationalist Army was doing to Ireland and to you, and men in particular, in making you part of the Tercio, as it was called, El Tercio? Were you aware of the honour that was being given?
We were the 15th Battalion of the Legion.
Yeah.
Vicente Bandera al Tercio. And why we had to go with the Battalion of the Legion, we couldn't serve as an Irish battalion completely independently because we had no finance, and we got the same pay as the
Legion. Did you? I mean, you think obviously from things you've already said that you thought the military training at Cáceres was quite good.
Great.
And when you got into the field, you found it useful.
Wonderful.
Right.
Now, I just wanted to tell you that
of
about we were trained terrible well in relation to artillery fire or fire from the air.
Yeah.
That's something that they hadn't to train against in the first war so much. And we could, in one engagement, we were in the fire 1,500 shells into us, 1,500 in one day. And they surrounded us at one time when we advanced. They put up an armour train behind us. And they charged up and fired with machine guns off the train. And we had the lines mined. Or our officers had the mine. And we did all think we were surrounded, they were finished, because you had the enemy fighting on us from the hills or mountains out there. And then the train came up behind us about a half mile or so behind us when we crossed the lines.
Yeah.
And we never found then till the machine gun fire and stopped. The whole thing went up. The lines were mined and bombed. And I seen railway sleepers going up like crows in there. So that saved us on that occasion.
Yeah.
But I was going to tell you about the training. Now, when we could find heavy artillery, you could find the shot or explosion going off. Well, you'd have time to run about a perch. But then you'd find like this and there. And the minute you found the buzz in there, you had to go test. And if you didn't, you were finished.